Different hat. So good afternoon again. So there's this is paper 6B, I believe. So this is a project update on goodwill and impairment and papers intended to provide an ASAF an update on the project since the last ASAF meeting. So leading into the July board meeting, as a result of the research work that's been performed on today, and that's been summarised in pages 5 to 8 of the paper, there were two clear issues that the board needed to consider. There was a need to provide information to users to enable them to assess whether an acquisition has been a success, but at the same time, needed to address feedback regarding the subsequent accounting for goodwill and specifically the impairment test, that it's costly and it provides limited information about the acquisition, since the value of acquired goodwill is not always reduced if the acquisition performs poorly, i.e. the test is not always effective in recognising impairment losses on acquired goodwill on a timely basis. So considering those two issues, on page 10, initially the project had been trying to improve the impairment test to improve the information that it provided about the acquisition's performance. And whilst progress had been made on looking for an approach that would limit the shielding effect of unrecognised headroom, it was unlikely that approach was going to meet the cost-benefit test. So the board therefore tentatively decided in its July meeting to focus on using disclosure requirements to meet the user's requests for information about the performance of an acquisition, and set that as one of the research objectives for this project to pursue. So the board were no longer looking or trying to use the impairment test to provide that and improve that information about the acquisition's performance. And the work the staff have performed in investigating improvements in the effectiveness of the impairment test will be included in the discussion paper. At this stage, the board tentatively decided not to pursue improving the effectiveness of that impairment test any further, because that was only going to add further cost and complexity to that test. And instead, since the test provides limited information and is costly, the board tentatively decided to pursue an objective of simplifying the accounting for goodwill and the impairment test. However, there was still concern about the carrying value of goodwill on the balance sheet and whether that was appropriate given the research project had demonstrated that the shielding effects could prevent acquired goodwill being impaired even when the acquisition performed poorly. And one of the possible simplifications to accounting for goodwill the board's exploring is the reintroduction of amortisation. And that would at very least reduce the carrying value of goodwill. And that's something that the board can consider during the course of the project. So on page 11, the research objectives for the follow-up work of the project have been summarised, and it's evident that the final solution is going to be a package of those proposals, since the problems highlighted are interrelated. And the staff are now working on those three objectives. And whilst there's no specific questions for ASAF members in the paper, happy to take any comments on the paper. Thank you.
So very pleased to see that you're actually splitting the project to deal with the two specific issues. I think that's really important, because I think otherwise bringing the two together was really muddy in the answers you were coming up with. But in terms of Objective C, would strongly encourage you not just to look at those two specific amendments. I think there's still merit to be had in looking at much more broadly whether you can actually simplify the entire test. So one of the things we're currently looking at is some research with users and preparers to see whether we can come up with some more concrete proposals to help you in that space. But certainly I would see having consistent cash flow methodology for both fair value and value in use if you're going to keep both methods, but then being really, really, really clear on what your different assumptions can actually be under those two methodologies would, to my mind, actually go a lot further than what's been proposed here and would be much more helpful to people in practice. Because if I could just reiterate, hopefully everybody around this table is aware of the audit quality issues that are currently being discussed very, very extensively in almost every jurisdiction. And one of the main factors in those audit quality issues is the impairment testing. So application of this the impairment standard in practice is the single biggest problem that regulators have. So I think it's really incumbent on us as standard setters to try and actually help with that issue, because it is not a clear standard. It's a very old standard, and I do think there are some things that we can do to actually improve that.
Washing?
About the project update, our LSSG member find that some of the maintenance projects have been discussed or will be discussed. We counted maybe five of them, and others that will that haven't be discussed at ASAF meeting. So we would like to know what's the criteria for the ISB to what kind of topic will be discussed at ASAF meeting, and what kind of others why not discuss at the ASAF meeting. This just a very maybe quick question.
I can answer it now. So I normally sit with the implementation team, and we look at those areas where we think that we can come to you with and request useful advice and get feedback from you. And areas where the IFRIC are dealing with the question and there's less need for outreach, we'll either deal with it through the IFRIC or through other outreach processes. So it's in areas where we know that we need specific advice. It's not that we're avoiding bringing anything, it's just that we feel we've got the interpretations committee, so it's a bit where we want some further advice and a different perspective. You agree with that? So you can shoot me if I've said that.
I think that's fair. And also we need to watch timing as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Alexandru?
Sorry to pester about this, but this is a... When you look at even the conclusions here, they say, well, amortization of goodwill is probably of no information on, doesn't provide any information that useful to it. And so does the impairment of goodwill does not provide useful information to investors. And keep going, they said the board decided not to pursue immediate write-off of goodwill and issue recognition because it would undermine the conclusion that goodwill is an asset. Yes, but the question is, I think all the evidence is questioning actually goodwill is an asset or not. So if that word here seems to be circular, say, I will not write off goodwill because if I do it, I will favor the conclusion that it is not an asset. But I think I should have a better... Because if the impairment is not useful and the amortization is not useful, is this asset useful to anybody? Because in some industries, like financial sector, it is not it's not even allowed to account for capital. So basically, the regulator is saying, "I do not believe this is an asset." I'm for banks, so it's not account for capital. So I'm not saying that goodwill is not an asset, but I think this is because if amortization is not relevant, impairment is not relevant, anything that relates to goodwill is not relevant. It's goodwill relevant. So are we? Because this is an endless. We've been discussing just something like 20 years, and that's only my experience.
Have we said that impairment's not relevant, though, or have we said that it's got confirmatory value, on paper? But
yes.
The question is, given the timing of it and application, does it add?
I'm not disputing that.
We need to be careful to say we think it has
no because value. Say, I'm not disputing to say that information of little value doesn't always produce relevant. I'm not disputing this. I agree. Most companies treat this as a non-recurrent, non-something. They adjust it. Is, but I think all this evidence is actually questioning. Aren't you discussing a kind of asset that nobody's really considering this. So I think some discussion with users, more deep discussion with users about what people actually do with goodwill. Do they actually use it in any ratio analysis and any calculation? I think we keep coming to this discussion all over. I think the main question is this asset really?
And actually, that's the question that we are intending to ask users, which is, what do you actually use the goodwill for? Is the carrying value important?
Yeah, buy side analysis, sell side of the report. So should they? Are they only consider information the company acquired another company? That information is relevant then. But after that period, that number became pretty much useless, which is my suspicion.
I think that's what we're trying to get to the bottom of. And so I think that part of what we're trying to do, sort of indirectly by better understanding what disclosures would be useful, is that information more useful than the goodwill number in itself, and so it's helping us to dig into the information content of different things.
Linda?
So I just want to step in and kind of reiterate something that Chris said. So if I go back to my old job and talking about value in use, there was rarely any time that I allowed a deviation between the initial cash flows for the fair value calculation and the same cash flows for value in use. Sometimes we look at a bit of a longer time horizon on value in use, but even the discount rates, everything had to be in relationship to each other. There was nothing in the standard that told me that I had to do that, but that was just better quality information, and I thought more in keeping with where you wanted to go from a quality implementation perspective and application perspective. I think in addition to what you've got in Objective-C, you could do more work on making value in use more robust if, in fact, you're going to keep the concept of value in use. So I wouldn't shy away from that because I think it would make a big difference in terms of the quality of the results. Whether or not you're going to talk about amortization of goodwill, over to you. I would think about some of these other things as well, just to keep in mind that we could end up with a better result if we did that.
Sven?
Yeah. I think I would really encourage the IP to better go forward for all these three objectives. I mean, also things we have discovered that some, let's say, practical cost-benefit issues. And as far as I understand, the project where you're now is really thinking about cost-benefit issues and not, fundamentally conceptual issues, because you could, of course, raise this question just on recognition of goodwill at all and allocating the goodwill and CGU definition, all this type of stuff. But my impression that you say, okay, there is a starting point, so there is a goodwill at the start, and now we are thinking about some sort of simplification with regard to cost benefit, which I think so are all valid approach and I think well known issues in practice. To what Linda, I think on Objective-C, what I think would be quite helpful to clearly see what still is the conceptual difference between a fair value measurement and a value in use measurement, because of course with this sort of or simplifications or openings to what is covered by value in use cash flows and post-tax inputs, you're coming, I would assume, closer to a fair value measurement. In some cases, it might be a little bit difficult to clearly see, okay, what's conceptually the difference between the two. So that I think might be helpful. And I mean, finally, amortization of goodwill. I mean, some people, probably 1 or 2 years ago, couldn't imagine that this will come back on the agenda and you're actively thinking about amortization again, which I think is a valid point, but I think the future will tell us where we end up there. But I really encourage you to move forward because I mean it's such a big issue, and I would say any sort of change or simplification, even if it's only one step of the things we've covered, is already I think a success. So, yeah.
Andrew, just a very small techie question, really, but the use of Objective-C, the use of post-tax inputs in the VAU calculation, I would have guessed that will be in the kind of simplifying category, not necessarily in the improving category, but is there a rationale for saying that could improve the VAU calculation?
I think I'd probably agree that it is probably more of an improvement. But in terms of using post-tax, there is the disclosure requirement to get to a pre-tax discount rate, which sometimes is something that someone actually has to try to calculate it, back calculate it, et cetera, et cetera. So it prevents that. But yeah, it's more of an improvement.
Okay. And over to Catherine.
Okay, thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone. So we move on to the targeted standards level review that the board is currently undertaking. This is a topic that we discussed with you and sought your advice on in quite some depth at the last meeting. And the decisions that the board have taken since then have really related directly to the topics that we discussed with you in July. So what I will do is provide a brief update on what has happened since and where the project is now. And then I'm very happy to take any questions or comments you might have about what is happening there. So in July, we really discussed two things. The first was the guidance for developing and drafting disclosure requirements in future that back in July, the board was in the process of drafting. In the July meeting, the board completed its sort of first round of discussions on that draft guidance, having considered all of the way it uses objectives, the process it will use in future, and drafting considerations such as how it will use prescriptive language and how it will make sure it's using consistent language, and things of that nature. Having completed those initial discussions in July, we then came back to the board in September with a complete summary of the draft guidance that the board had tentatively decided upon. And that paper from September is in your meeting materials as Agenda Paper 6A. Within that paper, we had incorporated the considerations that we'd heard from board members during the earlier meetings and also the advice we'd heard from yourselves back in July. And all of that was discussed in September, and the board confirmed that they were happy to move on and test that guidance on two standards. So the other topic we discussed with you in July was which standards the board should test its guidance on. The week after those discussions with you, the board took the decision to test the guidance on IAS 19 on pensions and IFRS 13 fair value measurements. So those two standards will be the subject of testing the guidance over the coming months. A couple of additional things to mention. The first is, given that you talked about rate regulation in the session before the break, and this topic was mentioned a few times, it's probably worth clarifying what's going on there in terms of the relationship between the two projects. So the board's decisions within the targeted standards level review have very much been that everything they've decided to date has been a process for testing. One of the conversations that we had with yourselves and one of the pieces advice that we got from you in July was about the importance of the board's guidance being iterative and flexible and a process of continual improvement, and that is something that the board are prioritising quite highly. So at the moment it is considered for testing only on these two standards rather than being a set of guidance that is a mandatory part of our broader process at the moment. That said, where other teams have found the discussions that are going on within the disclosure initiative useful, they have been using some of that thinking to facilitate their projects, and rate regulation is an example of where that has been happening. The final thing I will mention is exactly what is going on in the project now, because we have reached a point with targeted standards level review where I think my team are very busy behind the scenes, but it's perhaps going to be less forefrontal in public meetings for a short time. And what we are doing right at the moment is planning and arranging a fairly substantial outreach programme. Much of the feedback we got from you in July, what related to the outreach we will perform with users, with preparers, roundtable type activity. We got some advice about liaison with auditors, and we are at the moment planning and arranging all of the outreach that will happen over the next few months before we come back for technical discussions about potential proposals with respect to our two standards. So I will stop there, but I'm very happy to take any questions or comments.
No questions, Chris?
No, just carry on quickly.
Okay.
Boosting my head.
All right.
Okay, so that just takes us to the final paper, which is just the Agenda Paper 6, which really just looks at topics for the December ASAP meeting, which are set out in Appendix A. So
I just ask if members have any comments on the proposed topics or just topics that they would like to bring from their own jurisdictions. No?
Yes, please.
So I think my question was, do you think we really need to come back and talk about FICE again, given that we will have just all completed our submissions?
Well, when we... I mentioned that to Kumar this morning, actually. And so when we originally kind of structured out when to bring FICE to ASAP, the idea was this morning you would have a short exchange of views so that you could take back to your jurisdictions, because you previously mentioned as members that you found that quite helpful. So whether, I think Kumar and I need to think about whether it's better to come back in December and we hear, have a fuller discussion, or wait until the feedback statement is done. But then as a group, you've previously said you don't like going over comment letter summaries. So we'll have to have a think.
I guess it depends on whether you guys think there'll be more that you might want to say in December. Because the thinking, I think, in the planning, from what I understand it was today, might be some initial thoughts. We'd give some sort of thoughts and comp for you to think about, and then maybe there'd be further reflections, but maybe not.
And I think we have had, you know, quite a few discussions over the last few days, whether they be education nature or sort of initial impression sharing. And I think we've asked you to look at some specific areas and sort of develop the thinking on some of those initial thoughts. So I think it might be useful. And that was Kumar's point. He just wanted a bit of time to think about whether it would be better to hear more in depth and how you responded to some of the things we'd raised.
I think so long as you're clear then about what specifically you want the feedback on would be helpful.
Okay, we can do something for you.
Okay. Any other comments? Well, that brings us to an early conclusion of our meeting. It's been a long week, so that explains why, perhaps.
Yeah, everyone's had enough.
thank you so much. All have a safe trip home. Alberto, I hope going back will be a bit easier than coming here. Thank you for the 2 hours that you spent with us.
Anticipated for this one was the last one.
And, okay, have a good trip home. Thank you.